This morning we will start on a new series of messages entitled Face to Face with Jesus. I was thinking a lot of what the next series will be after First Peter, and I trust that's a blessing to you, and realized when I looked at my notes, it took us over a year to finish a letter of 5 chapters. In this series, I'd like us to consider the Lord Jesus not just as the Son of God, of who He really is, not just a teacher, not even as a prophet, but Jesus as a man, the God-man. From the accounts and the narratives in the scriptures, while He was here on earth, I'd like us to be reminded afresh. Reminded afresh. To see Him again. What kind of a person was He? Capital H, of course. How is it to be around Him? How did He deal with the issues of life, with people, situations? And if we were there at the Sea of Galilee, or in Capernaum, or in the narrow streets of Jerusalem, what would we see of the Lord Jesus? What was it like to hang around with Him? And indeed, how it is to be face to face with Jesus. Over the course of time in this series, I also would like us to consider those moments of time where men and women were face to face with the Lord Jesus on the lead up to His crucifixion at the cross of Calvary. That cruel place of the skull called Golgotha. And though these encounters with the Lord Jesus occurred some 2,000 years ago, may we see them in the light of this our time. And as always, we will make personal applications of what we will see, what we will hear, and what we will learn from this good book, the Bible. And this morning we are reminded of the cross through the Lord's table. And so I've entitled our first message in this series by way of a question. Have you found your cross? Beloved, have you found your cross? Open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 23, the Gospel of Luke chapter 23. And if you're able, once again, would you stand with me, please? Luke 23, we're just going to read one verse. Luke chapter 23, and in verse 26. Luke 23, verse 26. And as they led Him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. Our Father, once again I ask, as always, your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Lord, that as we look into your word this morning, that we would see our lives in the pages of it. I pray, Lord, that you would lead us into truth. You would comfort us from your word this morning. Challenge us if we needed. May we be a different person from the time that we walked into this building today, at the time that we will go out. I pray once again for those that would want to be here but are not able. The aches and pains, the challenges of aging, the difficulties that people face. I pray, dear God, that you would comfort their hearts. Lord, as I look to your word once again, I seek wisdom from above, power from on high. Help me to be used mightily for your glory, even at this hour. I pray, Father, that if there be one within our midst this morning hasn't come to that point of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, as their Savior, I pray perhaps today will be the day of their salvation. And those of us, dear God, who claims to be saved, made a profession of faith, claim to be a Christian, I pray that the message of the cross this morning will renew us afresh and have a deeper realization of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That indeed one day we'll be face to face with Him. And as we consider that prospect, may we put you the preeminent in our life today and beyond. We thank you for the freedom we have, that we are able to open our doors today and receive people and have the opportunity to be seated in a comfortable chair, heated room, things that we do neglect. Well, in some parts of the globe today, many are meeting without the privileges that we have. So I pray for those ones that perhaps in hiding, in some secret place somewhere, singing quietly, and a page of scripture they have, and just to be fellowshipping with you. And as we do that, even in this place today, I pray that you will be magnified, you will be pleased with our worship. I ask all of these things now in the mighty name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It was after midnight. Jesus was betrayed by Judas at the Garden of Gethsemane. From there, he was taken to Annas for questioning. From there, the Lord Jesus was taken to Caiaphas, Annas' son-in-law, the one who was the high priest at the time. The Lord Jesus was passed on from one questioning to the next, because after Caiaphas, the Sanhedrin questioned him again. Evidently, after a few hours, this is now very early in the morning, Jesus was questioned yet again, this time by Pilate, who found no fault in him and sent the Lord Jesus to Herod, which in turn Herod sent him back to Pilate. It seems no one really wants to pass judgment unto the Lord Jesus, and towards the end, Pilate made the crowd to choose between Barabbas, a criminal, and Jesus, the Christ. And as you know, the crowd chose Barabbas over Jesus. And Jesus was sent away to be crucified to the place called Golgotha. You know, when I was in Israel and I was at a distance, this place called Golgotha, the place of the skull, I didn't say to anyone at the time, but I was feeling uneasy. That place today is a bus depot. No one really cares. It's a hub in a place where people that don't necessarily believe in the Savior I felt that the place was desecrated. I felt that that place lost its meaning. But nevertheless, you can still picture a little bit of that formation of a skull in that mountain or in that hill. Beloved, before that the Lord Jesus was to be crucified, he'd been mocked, he'd been beaten, and he'd been scourged. I don't have time to detail these horrible and horrendous acts, but as a consequence, the Lord was weakened, so weak from those brutal and barbaric tortures that he suffered from the hands of the soldiers. No doubt he was exhausted. And the scriptures described him beyond recognition because of the cruelty that he suffered that day. You don't need me to tell you that scourging was a brutal form of torture. So torturous that it left his back, his flesh torn like ribbons. One writer describes scourging as death before dying. It is designed so that a man would die in a few hours or a day or two at the most. In essence, the Lord Jesus was dying already, and he hasn't been crucified as yet. Having been sentenced to death by crucifixion, Jesus now begins to make his way and carry his own cross to the place of his execution. The Romans did this to make an example. To make an example that any would-be opposition to Rome, this is the punishment that is awaiting them. Somebody said that the crossbeam alone would weigh around 45 kilos. And if the Lord was carrying and dragging the whole cross, it would be about 136 kilograms. To carry this amount of weight is a challenge to anyone, let alone for someone who has been brutally beaten, bashed, and mocked. You that have been traveling, you know that the legal limit for the airlines to take your luggage is 23 kilos. No more. Because they're protecting the workers that are lifting these luggages. I had a look in Australia today. They wouldn't set a legal limit, but it is customary to expect that males carry a weight of only 25 kilos at the workplace and 16 for females. The Lord Jesus was carrying almost twice the legal limit, over three times if he was carrying the entire cross. Every step he took would have been an agony. And he, no doubt, stumbled along. The soldiers then realized that he might not make it to the place of the skull. He will not make it to his own crucifixion. And so, our text says that they laid hold upon one Simon. But who is this Simon? We really don't know much about him. Scriptures name him but never mention him again after this event. We know him to have come from Cyrene, a city in modern-day Libya today, in the North African region. We know from Mark 15, verse 21, he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. What was he doing in Jerusalem that day, beloved? Most likely he was there for the Passover. He would have been part of the huge crowd lined up the narrow streets of Jerusalem. And if you've been in Israel, you can understand how narrow the streets can be, especially in the walled city. He would have been part of that crowd witnessing Jesus bear his cross. Scripture is silent. We don't know how much Simon knew about Jesus before this day. Perhaps before he even arrived at Jerusalem, Simon heard of the talks about the Lord Jesus, how he performed many miracles, gave sight to the blind, made the lame to walk again, fed thousands of people. He probably heard how his followers think of Jesus as the one long-awaited Messiah. But just as he heard of the good things about Jesus, typical of human beings, I'm sure he would have heard of the negative things about Jesus as well. Perhaps he heard of the conflicts that Jesus had with the religious establishment of the day. Perhaps he would have heard of the confrontations with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But in all that he probably heard, perhaps he's asking himself, what did Jesus do to deserve crucifixion? Sure, just like anyone, some people liked him, and some others didn't. But to die by crucifixion, that's reserved for the vilest of criminals of their day. Surely this punishment is not worth to whatever he has done. Perhaps in Simon's mind, either Jesus was one of the vilest of criminals of their day, or this whole thing was one big mistake. You see, no one knew what was happening at Jerusalem at that time, not even Simon. He was just one of the crowd that would be face to face with Jesus that day. First, let's see Simon as he was indeed face to face with the soldiers. Here in our text, as they led Jesus away, they laid hold upon one Simon. In Matthew 27 and in Mark 15, the word used was compel. They compelled Simon. The idea is for Simon to be a courier or a carrier. And by implication, it means they pressed him for service. Most definitely, beloved, Simon didn't volunteer for the job. They pulled him out of the crowd against his will even, and they forced him to carry the cross. This Simon, who came out of the country, a transient, a traveler, amongst the millions of Jews that would go to Jerusalem for Passover, a face from a crowd, suddenly found himself face to face with the soldiers. No doubt when he woke up that morning, he never planned to be near the cross. He never wanted to be near any crucifixion. It is never good for any Jew to be near crucifixion. That's against their rules of do's and don'ts. I'm sure he didn't want to be anywhere near the death march of Christ. But perhaps God had another plan for this Cyrenian. I ask myself, why would the Holy Spirit identify this Simon as being the Cyrenian? Well, of course, there are many Simons in the scriptures. There is Simon Peter and the other disciples, Simon the Zealot. There is Simon the leper at Bethany, Simon Magus, the Samaritan sorcerer in the book of Acts. There is Simon the Pharisee who invited Jesus for a meal, and then the sinful woman wiped his feet with her tears and her hair. And many other Simons. So is there anything more for us to learn from Simon being a Cyrenian? Just hold that thought for a moment. Now, in the midst of the commotion, the jeering, with some cheering, others weeping, the soldiers trying to contain the crowd and do their job, the dying Jesus spent, physically, and barely able to walk. Here was Simon, the man from Cyrene, compelled to carry the cross again, found himself face to face, this time with the Savior. Our text says that on him, that is on Simon, they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Beloved, understand this is out of ordinary. Under the Roman law, the criminal should carry his own cross. But as God would have it, the soldiers figured that he won't make it to the hill, and so they've laid it upon one Simon. We find here that this Simon will be at the right time and at the right place. Commentators of all persuasions have plenty to say about the cross. Some have focused on which part of the cross was he actually carrying. Is it the short one, the cross beam, or the long beam? Some commentators focus on the possible weight of the cross, as I mentioned on the introduction. But for the purposes, our purposes this morning, I'd like us to focus not on the wood, but on the man, Simon, and especially the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text suggests that he was not a local of Jerusalem. He was from Cyrene. We cannot be conclusive and dogmatic with this, beloved, but there is a reason to believe that if one is from Cyrene in the northern region of Africa, that one's complexion or skin would be dark. Now remember that thought for a moment. Cyrene at the time of Christ was home to a large number of Greek-speaking or Hellenistic Jews. In Acts chapter 2, verse 10, Luke records men from Cyrene being converted at Pentecost. After the martyrdom of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, believers from Cyrene were among the first to be scattered because of persecution in Jerusalem. And from Antioch, remember they were scattered, and from Antioch, the Cyrenians preached to the Greeks, to the Hellenists, who are Gentiles. You find that in Acts 11, verse 20. These Gentile believers then became instrumental in the formation of the church at Antioch. And for the first time, the disciples were called Christians at Antioch. And so now please turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13 and in verse 1, Acts 13 verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and soul. Simeon, that was called Niger, that means called the black. And Lucius of where? Of Cyrene. Beloved, it is more than likely that this Simeon the black is actually Simon the Cyrenian, who had begun the ministry among the Gentiles at Antioch. So what's the point, Pastor? Again, just bear with me for a little bit more, and I promise you it will make sense. Now turn your Bibles this time at Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. I've mentioned this earlier, Mark 15 in verse 21. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Luke described Simon as Cyrenian, and so did Mark. But Mark added an important detail. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Now be patient with me. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And this time in verse 13. Paul here is giving his final greetings to the church at Rome. And he wrote in verse 13, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." This Rufus, beloved, is more than likely the Rufus that is one of Simon Cyrenian's son, as Mark recorded in the scripture. And now many years after, Paul is commending and thanking this Rufus and his mother, who was also like a mother to Paul. They must be prominent in the church. And when I say prominent, I don't mean popular. I mean prominent as they are a blessing to the church, a servant to the church, one that's involved, laboring for the cause of Christ and the gospel. That Paul, as he said his goodbyes, essentially was thanking and commending Rufus for their faithfulness and his mother, who is unnamed. And so here's my point, beloved. This Cyrenian was face to face with Jesus, and after that, after carrying Jesus' cross, this Simon was never the same man again. You see, no one, after having an encounter with the Savior Christ, will never be the same again. Either that one will refuse, or that one would receive Christ. There is no in between. I believe that this Cyrenian got converted after some time that he bore the cross of Jesus Christ. That encounter that he had was enough. That face-to-face meeting that he had with Jesus, he became converted and was instrumental in the church at Antioch, a church that bears the testimony of Jesus Christ. This Simon, who was married to a woman who later Paul called as being like his own mother, and fathered a son, the scripture identified that son as chosen in the Lord. And while on the outside, Simon was just a bystander, a face in a huge crowd that day in Jerusalem. Little did he know, like the criminal who repented, and the Lord Jesus Christ, today you shall be with me in paradise. Little did he know, like the centurion when he pierced the Lord Jesus on his side, declared, "Surely this must be the Son of God." This Cyrenian, beloved, little did he know that after carrying Christ's cross, he would later become converted and used by Christ to establish the church at Antioch. While the crowd chose the criminal over the Christ, Christ chose these three men to accomplish his sovereign plan. Oh, the mysteries of our Savior Jesus Christ. While he is in the midst of pain, while people are jeering and shouting and saying, "Crucify him," he's busy accomplishing his purposes in the lives of men. Simon was face to face with the soldiers. He was face to face with the Savior. And lastly, as we proceed to the Lord's table, Simon was face to face with self-sacrifice. And might I add, face to face with service. You see, beloved, Simon no doubt and unknowingly gave us a message that is relevant for us today. He literally and graphically demonstrated to us what Christ had said to his disciples. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. 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 And follow me. Simon the Cyrenian, mentioned in a few verses in the entire Bible, seemingly insignificant. One that was mentioned once and never mentioned again. Never repeated again, yet had a profound message for you and me today. Have you found your cross, beloved? Have you found your cross? And if you did, how are you bearing it? How are you bearing your cross? Dutifully or joyfully in Jesus Christ? Do you bear it daily, as the Lord said? Or are you bearing it despisingly? You see, salvation is just the first step. A glorious first step. An eternally secure first step. But if you want to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we must choose to bear our cross daily. And then follow him. Is that your choice this morning? I trust that it is. You see, Simon did not find his cross. The cross found him. And if you are here this morning and you have not yet had that encounter with the cross of Christ, one day you will be face to face with him. Whether you face him as a believer in the judgment seat, in the bema, or you will face him as a righteous judge in the great white throne judgment. No one escapes being face to face with Jesus Christ. So I encourage you. I'd rather that you face him in his gracious offer of free gift of salvation through the Word, the Logos, the one that became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and face him in his grace and in his mercy. Rather, face him in his wrath and judgment to pronounce your eternal destiny, a place called hell, forever and ever. Where would you like to face him? As a savior or as a judge? Your choice. May I encourage you then, face him today. Today is the day of salvation. Don't waste a moment. We have no guarantee of our next breath, beloved. And so as we look to the emblems, as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ through the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, we will be face to face in the memory and what it represents. I say it again. There's nothing special about the unleavened bread or the grape juice. What's special is who it represents. So as this is passed towards you, I trust that you came prepared for it. We here at Calvary Baptist Church, we practice open communion. You don't have to be a member of our church to participate. But I trust that you're working towards that. I trust that you're walking with your Savior. I trust that you're right in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that you wouldn't just go through the motions of it. And so as we take this moment now to be reminded afresh of the Lord's table, may we participate rightfully. The Bible says that if we partake unrighteously, that we are committing sin. So let it be that as it is passed to you, that you would indeed exercise examining yourself whether you're worthy to participate.